and gentlemen, from Vancouver, British Columbia, and here he is, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello? Again, this is Jack Benny talking, and it's sure swell to be here. Yes, Don, here we are in Vancouver. What a beautiful city.
It certainly is, Jack. It's so picturesque with its snow-capped mountains right across the harbor.
And that Vancouver Hotel, did you ever see anything so luxurious?
Hello and welcome to the Generation Exploitation Podcast. My name is Cliff Nesteroff. Just listen to a cover version of Diamonds Are Forever by a British composer arranger named Jeff Love off a 1972 budget LP called Big Suspense Movie Themes by Jeff Love and his orchestra on Birchmount, a subsidiary of Quality Records Canada. And right now we're going to listen to a series of cassettes put out by Pez America, the people who manufactured Pez dispensers, a series of tapes called Greetings from the Stars, originally produced in 1983-84. And I've had trouble getting a lot of information about these cassettes. I've Googled them, and the only thing that I could find was an antique store here in Vancouver selling them for $10 a pop. Although put out by a subsidiary of Pez America called Pezzazz, there is a Vancouver address on the case. And what these are is they would take two-bit celebrities, three at a time, and get them to record a greeting. Basically sounds like it was done in one take. I bought a big bundle of them in the heart of Vancouver's ghetto in the drug district at a drug store called Garlene Pharmacy for about a buck. They still had all these tapes in their original packages, and we're going to listen to a bunch of them. They feature some old comedians who knows how they were convinced to do this, but what would happen is three celebrities would record a greeting on one side, and then the flip side is blank, but with the tab on, so you could record it and send your own greeting to a dying relative. Let's listen to some of these. Greetings from the Stars, 1983, Pez America.
Hello, this is Ed McMahon. I heard it's your birthday. Happy birthday. As a matter of fact, when I heard about your birthday, I started to celebrate. I was coming to your place, and the cop stopped me on the highway, and I said, I'm going to see this guy for his birthday. He said, what are you drinking? I showed him. He said, come on to my house. We'll have a party. Well, we did that for a while, and I'm sorry I never got there. But happy birthday anyway. Now, don't worry about how old you are. My old ancient grandmother used to say, at 20, we care about what the world thinks of us. At 30, we don't seem to care what the world thinks of us. And at 60, we discover the world wasn't even thinking about us at all. So happy returns of the day.
Hi, this is Doc Severinsen, and I understand it's your birthday. Well, I was coming over to your house to play something on my trumpet during your birthday party, but they told me you'd already booked Al Hurt. I love birthdays, and by the way, Ed McMahon just had a birthday. I was going to get him a present that he wanted, but it's impossible to gift wrap a saloon. So I went out and I bought him a clock, and he's going to love it. See, this clock does an hour in less than 50 minutes. And talking about birthdays, my grandfather just celebrated his 94th birthday. He doesn't smoke, and he doesn't drink, and he doesn't gamble. What beats me is why he wants to live so long. Well, happy birthday, Al Hurt.
Hi, this is Don Adams. I understand it's your birthday, which happens to be an incredible coincidence, because it happens to be my birthday also. I am about to be 28 years old. Would you believe 38? How about forgetting about my birthday and talking about yours? I was on my way to your house with 42 fabulous gifts. Would you believe 2 mediocre presents? How about an old, used, and torn birthday card? Seriously, though, I would like to wish you a very happy birthday.
Hi there, this is Foster Brooks. I bet you're kind of surprised, aren't you, to hear from me? Well, somebody told me that you needed a little cheering up, and I thought maybe I might just say hello and cheer you up. You know, you the way you feel, you ought to be in my brother-in-law's shoes. He went ice fishing about 2 weeks ago for the first time in his life, brought home 200 pounds of ice. His wife fried it, and they both drowned. And I had two other brothers-in-law went out one night when they came home. I said, did you have any luck? He said, no, we didn't catch anything. I said, why, what happened? And he said, well, by the time we got a hole cut in the ice big enough for the motorboat, we were too tired to fish. Oh. Good luck and good cheer, and God bless.
Hello, this is Shari Lewis.
And this is Lamb Chop.
And we hear that you need a bit of cheering up.
Yeah.
Well, it may seem as though the odds are working against you, but tomorrow just could be your day.
What do you mean?
Did you know that Columbus tried for 17 years to get somebody to finance his trip to the New World?
Really?
And did you know that Admiral Perry tried to reach the North Pole on 7 different trips before he made it on the 8th?
No kidding.
And did you know that Thomas Edison tried 1,600 different materials before settling on carbon as a filament for the electric light bulb?
I didn't know that.
And did you know that out of the first 4 stores that W.F. Woolworth opened, 3 failed? When he died, Woolworth was worth more than $20 million.
So cheer up, huh?
Yeah, we've got our fingers crossed for you, and we're sure that the best is yet to come.
Hi, this is Scatman Crothers, telling you to cheer up. Put on a happy face, even if it's your neighbor's. Now, you might be in debt up to your neck, and at least you're not in over your head. So far, I've taken care of 2 of your problems. Now, you may have many more problems, and if I had time, I'd try to solve them for you. But I ain't got the time, so do the best you can with your own problems. And in the meantime, excuse me, I got some problems of my own. As a matter of fact, I'm going to buy this cassette to help me cheer up.
Hi, this is Milton Berle. On your anniversary, may I make a toast to you? L'chaim. Now, l'chaim means life. In fact, I have an uncle who's doing l'chaim in San Quentin right now. I don't know how long you've been married, but I've been married for 30 years. That's right, 30 years. And 30 years is a long time. But my wife and I still make love almost every day in a week. Almost Monday, almost Tuesday, almost Wednesday. Once again, this is Uncle Milty wishing you a happy anniversary.
Hello, darlings. Congratulations to your wedding anniversary. My goodness, what a fantastic thing to have a wedding anniversary. You see, I don't have much experience in wedding anniversaries because I never wait until the year is over. But I think it's a blessing from the Lord, really, to be able to stay together 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, and forever. Because what could be better than to build a life together with a partner you love and understand? and have the same interest. So really, darlings, a wedding anniversary should be something very special. And God, I hope one day I will be able to have a wedding anniversary myself where we love each other and understand each other. So congratulations again. I'll be right there, darling.
Hi, this is Don Adams congratulating you on your anniversary. Would you believe I've been married to the same woman for 30 years? Would you believe two women for 15 years each? How about one for 7.5 years? Each one of my wives was different in her own way. The first one loved to argue. She wouldn't even eat food that agreed with her. The second was a black belt shopper. We didn't have a garage, we had a loading zone. The third one looked like Bo Derek. Would you believe Doris Day? How about Ernest Borgnine with smallpox? Well, getting back to your anniversary, may you have many, many more.
Hi, this is Phyllis Diller. So cheer up. Things could be worse. You could be Orson Welles' belt. Imagine trying to hold all that in. You could be Dolly Parton's navel. It never sees the light of day. Or you could be Judge Foster's gavel. Pounding, pounding, pounding. You think you've got a headache. Look at the bright side. There are a lot more aspirin in the world than there are headaches. So cheer up. Make a list of all the good things in your life, then say a word of thanks for those things. You'd be amazed how appreciating the good things in your life make the bad things disappear. So count your blessings, think lovely thoughts, and know that you are special, one of a kind, a snowflake. You are great.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Winters, and I'm here to cheer you up. I mean that. I know it's been a difficult time for you, and you're a little depressed. I've gone through those periods, so I know what you're talking about. But listen, put all that aside for just a couple of seconds, if you will. I'm going to do a turtle impression for you. Have you ever seen a turtle impression? You're going to see one now. You're going to see a 58-year-old man. That's right. Be a turtle, a box turtle. That's about as big as your hand. Take a look at your hand, and the yellow markings on the back, I'm going to be crossing the turnpike. Did you see the turtle? You did see him, didn't you? If you did, then I've cheered you up. If you didn't see him, I haven't cheered you up. This is Jonathan Winters. All kidding aside, I hope I did cheer you up a little.
Hi, this is Lynn Redgrave. I'm asking you to cheer up. I suppose we need cheering up mostly when we're young. My mother told me we were leaving England and going to the United States, and as a youngster, I didn't want to come to the United States. I said, Mother, look at all the things I'm going to miss. And my mother said, You're going to the United States. Mother, I'll miss English sausages, warm beer. My mother said, You're too young to drink warm beer. And I said, I didn't say I wanted to drink it, I just said, I'll miss it. And my mother said, You're going to the United States. And I said, I'll miss the changing of the guard. So, Mother, I am telling you for the last time, I do not want to go to the United States. And I remember my mother shouting, Shut up and keep swimming! Seriously, I hope this little bit of nonsense helped you cheer up in some small way.
Hello, friends. This is Henry Youngman. Happy anniversary to you. You talk about anniversaries. You realize I've been married to the same woman for 55 years. Where have I failed? In love with one woman for 55 years. My wife finds out, she'll kill me. I take my wife everywhere, but she finds a way home. Last year, we went down to Acapulco for the Kea Picnic Festival. I made a run for it. My wife is on a diet now. She eats nothing but coconuts and bananas. She hasn't lost any weight, but can she climb a tree? She tells people she's a light eater, that's right. As soon as it's light, she starts to eat. Anyway, I don't know what this has to do with your anniversary, but have fun and enjoy life.
Hi, this is Lynn Redgrave. Congratulations, you're celebrating your anniversary. My husband and I just celebrated our 17th wedding anniversary, and I might add, 17 of the happiest years of my life. We have an unusual way of celebrating. We're both sweater freaks. Each year on our anniversary, I give my husband a V-neck sweater. And each year, he in return gives me a V-neck sweater. We go out that evening, wine, candlelight, dancing, and then we come home. I put on my V-neck sweater, he puts on his V-neck sweater, we kiss a little, and then V-neck. Seriously, this is Lynn Redgrave congratulating you on your anniversary and wishing you many, many more to come.
This is Ed McMahon. I understand you're going to have an anniversary. Congratulations. You know, my aunt and uncle have been married 15 years. They just celebrated their crystal wedding anniversary. That means that she can see right through him. My wife and I just celebrated our 8th anniversary. Here's a little tip. We made this pact 8 years ago. My wife and I vowed if we had a quarrel, some words, we would kiss and make up. We would never go to sleep angry. We sometimes go 2 and 3 months without sleeping. Hey, happy anniversary anyway. Have a great time. It's a wonderful life, especially when you share it with someone else.
This is Dom DeLuise, and I heard that you're going to get married. Well, I have a little advice for you. See, I've been married 19 years. And my advice to you, I mean, if you're getting married... my...
This is Shari Lewis. I hear you're getting married. Big deal. These days, everybody's getting married. You're not the only one. The other day, Lanchop said to me, I'm getting married. You can't.
Why not?
Oh, honey, you don't know about, well, you know, the birds and the bees.
I know.
What do you know?
How birds have little birds and bees have little bees.
How? Come on, tell me how.
I don't think you know.
Tell me.
Well, there's a king bee and a queen bee. And the king bee sprinkles his pollen on the queen bee. And they have babies.
Why doesn't the queen bee sprinkle the pollen?
Because the king bee is big and strong and brave like a daddy.
So if he's so big and strong and brave, how come he doesn't have the babies?
Well, because after the king bee sprinkles the pollen, he dies.
Oh, that makes me feel sad.
How do you think he feels? One sprinkle and it's all over.
Yes. Congratulations on your marriage.
Hi, this is Don Adams. So you're getting married, eh? Would you believe marriage is not a word? It's a sentence. It makes two people one. But which one? Before marriage, when a man holds a woman's hand, it's love. After marriage, it's self-defense. You might want to know what I did before I was married. Anything I wanted to. Did you know that in China, it's a custom for a man never to take a girl out before he marries her? In this country, he never takes her out after he marries her. Anyway, this is Don Adams wishing you lots of luck.
Hello, friends. This is Henry Youngman. A lot of people ask me what my definition of love is. I say love is a tickling sensation around the heart that can't be scratched. Of course, there are many, many forms of love. I personally love my grandson. My grandson complains about headaches. Headaches. I've told him 100 times when you jump out of bed at feet first. I said to my grandson, what are you doing nowadays? He says, I'm a mom back. Stands behind the truck. He says, mom back. I also love my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law is the neatest woman in the world. She puts paper under the cuckoo clock. And I said to my mother-in-law, my house is your house. Last week, she sold it. My mother-in-law, let's get serious a minute, folks. May I give you some advice? Love thy neighbor, but don't get caught.
Hi, this is Sid Caesar. What is love? What is love? Hey, that's a deep question. But I have someone here who can answer it. Hey, Pasquale, can you answer what love is? Ma cosa faccio di loro l'amore? Ma tu fai pietro lo fanno dell'amore, campiate lo sonno e la lantura cavale, fanno tu fallo lo massione,
Ma tu finni che sanale, montrullo holmap. Se non le piace, lo sono ghiffiare. Se non lo vimiato, lo copertino a tutto. Lo tutti, hey, that's love. Keep love. Keep love going because no one knows what it is. So what do you care? Have love.
Hi, this is Phyllis Diller, and they have asked me what is love. Some guys think it's a meaningful one-night stand, but I think chivalry still exists. Just the other night in a restaurant, I saw a man pull out his date seat for her, and she slapped him and tucked it back in her skirt. But I think things are all out of hand. When I was in high school, score meant the results of a football game. A girl wouldn't think of holding her date's hand. Now she has to. And dating someone because they're rich, that's not love. I know a guy who calls his girlfriend Miss Seven Zeros. For heaven's sakes, don't marry for money. It's cheaper to borrow it. But seriously, love makes your spirit bubble up and explode with happiness. That's love.
He was short and fat and rode out of the west with a Mogan David on his silver vest. He was mean and nasty right clear through, which was kind of weird because he was yellow too. They called him Irving. Big Irving. Big Short Irving. Big Short Fat Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the west. He came from the old bar mitzvah spread with a 10-gallon yarmulke on his head. He always followed his mother's wishes. Even on the range, he used two sets of dishes. Irving. Big fat Irving. Big sissy Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. .141 could draw faster than he, but Irving was looking for .143, walking a Sol saloon like a man insane, and ordered three fingers of 2 cents plain. Irving. Big fat Irving. Big sport Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. The James boys was coming on a train at first sun, and the town said, Irving, we need your gun. Well, that train pulled in at the break of dawn. Irving's gun was there, but Irving was gone. Irving. Big fat Irving. Big help Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. Finally, Irving got 3 slugs in the belly. It was right outside the Frontier Deli. He was sitting there twirling his gun around, and Butterfingers Irving gunned himself down. Irving. Big fat Irving. Big dum-dum Irving. Big dum-dum dead Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. You remember how Irving got 3 slugs in the belly, how it happened outside the Frontier Deli, how he lived by his gun and died by his gun. Well, no one knew Fat Irving had a son named Seymour. Tall, slim Seymour. Tall, slim, excellent-looking Seymour. Son of the 142nd fastest gun in the West. He He had steely eyes and stood 6'4". When he walked in the bar, he filled the door. He had a gun in one hand, and the folks would stare, 'cause in his other hand, he had a teddy bear. Seymour. Tall Sissy Seymour. Tall, excellent-looking Sissy Seymour. Son of the 142nd fastest gun in the West. Seymour was dressed in boots magenta by his mother, Esther, a dance hall yenta. She had one goal and he never mocked her. She dreamed he'd marry a lady doctor. Seymour. Mama's boy, Seymour. Excellent looking big baby, Seymour. Son of the 142nd fastest gun in the West. One day, Seymour rode into town. Billy the Kid was waiting to shoot him down. Seymour disguised himself in a dress and bustle and rode out of town as Lillian Russell. Seymour. Side saddle Seymour. Tall, really excellent looking Seymour. Son of the 142nd fastest gun in the West. But then Seymour made Bad Max a dare. There stood Seymour, one hand on his gun and one on his teddy bear. But Bad Max shot Seymour down in the high noon sun. Stupid Seymour had drawn his teddy and hugged his gun. Seymour, mortally wounded Seymour, not so excellent looking Seymour, dead, dumb Seymour. Truly the son of the 142nd fastest gun in the West. Really?
That's Frank Gallup, the son of Irving, the sequel to the song that we heard right before that, The Ballad of Irving. The Ballad of Irving by Frank Gallup was quite a famous novelty song off a incredibly high-selling LP called When You're in Love, The Whole World is Jewish on Kapp, K-A-P-P, Records. And it was a big, big seller. One of the highest-selling comedy records of the 1960s, right up there with Von Meter's The First Family and Bob Newhart's The Button-Down Mind. And this sequel song, which I think I like better, with the go-go music, The Son of Irving, a little bit more obscure, off Frank Gallup's only solo LP called Would You Believe on the Music Corps label. And he does a combination of novelty songs and straight songs like The Impossible Dream. And Frank Gallup, with that great, deep, aristocratic-sounding voice, was best known as an announcer on the Dean Martin Show on television, and before that in radio as Milton Berle's foil, as the announcer on the Milton Berle Show with Milton Berle and the great Arnold Stang, Frank Gallup. And interesting that this Frank Gallup solo LP is called Would You Believe, because before Frank Gallup, we heard the voice of a man whose catchphrase always was, Would You Believe, Don Adams, who we listened to with many others off a series of cassettes called Greetings from the Stars, including Valentine's Greetings, Happy Anniversary Greetings, You're Getting Married Well Wishes, Cheer Up Greetings. The voices you heard included Phyllis Diller, Sid Caesar, Henny Youngman, as mentioned, Don Adams, Sherry Lewis and Lamb Chop, Dom DeLuise, Lynn Redgrave, Jonathan Winters, Zsa Zsa Gabor, who sounded quite echoey and had a dog barking in the background. That's why I said earlier, it sounds like a lot of these were done in one take. We heard Milton Berle laughing at his own jokes and a gurgle in his throat. Scatman Crothers telling you to cheer up, but that he can't be bothered with your problems because he's got problems of his own. We heard Foster Brooks, Doc Severson, and my favorite, Ed McMahon, who sounded like he did his in one take as well, where he said, I hear you're having a birthday. Happy birthday. This is Ed McMahon. Greetings from the Stars, the series of cassettes found in a ghetto pharmacy here in Vancouver. And the actual packaging from Pizzazz America actually has a Vancouver address on it. Googling to try and find out more information about these Greetings from the Stars cassettes has not produced too much, other than the fact that everybody who owns a copy of these tapes seems to be in Vancouver. Hopefully, one day I will have the full story behind these tapes.
If you're looking for a lover, baby, I'm your man. We'll go out a-strolling and I'll hold you by the hand.
What is rock and roll? From where did it originate? How did it turn into what it is today? These are just some of the questions answered in the history of rock and roll. Ever since the earliest exposure of the rock and roll beat in the early 50s, people have attacked and criticized the meaning and value of this form of music. Everyone, that is, but the teenagers and young adults for whom this exciting beat has become a definite part of their lives. The reason for this is that they have been made either happier or sadder because of a certain song that was popular at the time. Because of this, these songs have become classics to all those who can cherish and reminisce about those forgotten days of the past. To pick a definite date in which this new sound found its way to national attention would be too difficult to do. The reason being there were too many different recordings being exposed to various areas of the country in the early 50s for anyone to be able to say what was the first rock and roll record and on what exact date it was played. Because of this, the year 1954 would probably be the best place to begin, for at this time, many of the early rock and roll recordings were beginning to achieve national popularity. In the early 50s, the music that was predominantly popular was sung by performers like Nat King Cole, Patti Page, the Ames Brothers, and the McGuire Sisters. Their songs were relaxing and enjoyed by many people because of the soothing way they were sung. However, at this same time, there was a different form of music being enjoyed by some people that originated from the rhythm and blues sounds of the Negro spirituals. True rhythm and blues were songs of emotion and feeling. However, for a more general acceptance by the public, the tempo was changed somewhat and the lyrics were changed to themes of love and romance. Consequently, a new sound was created and being sung by many Negro singing groups. A typical example of this new beat were these two songs that came out in late 1954.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. I'll be so lonely, baby. I could die. Could I have a little more echo on my voice? Although it's always crowded, that's got it. You still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom. And be so lonely, baby. Now the bellhop's tears keep flowing, the desk clerk's dressed in black. Well, it's been so long and lonely, see, well, let her get back. It's so lovely, like a good time. Well, now if your baby leaves you, and you got where you will be third pair today. You'll be so lovely you could die. So that's too much echo. Heartbreak, be so lonely, tears keep flowing. You'll be so lonely, baby. That's too much. Turn me off.
Thank you.
Sullivan does Ed Sullivan now. Even agents can do Ed Sullivan. I'm sure that somewhere in the world is a goddamn bear that can, just from being on the show, you know, and watching Ed from the wings, you know, you pick it up. Now, I know that a lot of guys do Ed Sullivan on kind of an amateur basis, and I'm here to help. It's, you know, kind of replace the lampshade for men at parties. Now, dig it. When you do your Ed Sullivan impression, don't worry about the voice or the mannerisms. Just the acts you introduce. The stranger, the freakier the acts are, the better your Ed Sullivan will be. I'll now start my Ed Sullivan. I do the John Biner Ed Sullivan, by the way. Many of the comics prefer the Will Jordan. But the John Biner Ed Sullivan is cued for my ear by saying the phrase, well, now you know.
But I know. But I know right here in Arshu. But I know.
I'll get him.
But I know. But I know right here in Arshu. But I was just after Connie Francis for her tribute to Carmen Basilio. And immediately following, or just following, the waltzing mice, the Maori fire eaters, and just before, was that just before or just after? During the aerial photographs of Kate Smith, the entire female population of Guadalajara will run out on our stage and yell out their brassiere sizes. Now in our audience tonight, now you know sitting out there in our audience, where are you now? There you are. The Loch Ness Monster. That's all that's really here. That's really here. He swam all the way from Scotland. But also in our audience, now where are you? There you are. The world's largest nun. Don't stand up, sister. But now you know. Now you know next week on our show. The Bronze Age. The excerpts from the Protestant Reformation.
What would be the ultimate Ed Sullivan act? It would have to be... It would have to be... everything that has occurred since eternity. Or maybe, how about Ed just staring back at you for an hour?
How are you?
I'd like to see them one time. Well, it's over now. No one got a chance to thank Ed either, man. You dig that? The last one that they taped, they didn't know it was going to be the last one because they were due to go into reruns the next week, and then it was canceled after it was in reruns. So at the actual last show after 23 years, nobody really, you know, knew the vibes they were into. What a shame. I would like to have been there just to say, thanks, Ed! No kidding, man. Thanks for all them crazy acts and everything in all those years. Wow. Thanks for the Beatles, Ed. Ed made sure we got them, man. And Elvis? Yeah. Little maudlin gang, but thanks, Ed. Da-da-da!
I'm just gonna quit seeing her. Ain't even gonna call, 'cause today I found her telephone number written on the boys' bathroom wall. I won't even say hello when I pass her in the hall. What's a fool gotta do when he finds his girl's number written on the boys' bathroom wall? We're through, that's all. And I'm never gonna dial that telephone number written on the bar's bathroom wall. Saw those cruel words looking at me. If anyone needs a girl to hold, call Walnut 6523. I'm tearing a picture in half. We're finished, we're through, that's all. And I'm never gonna dial that telephone number written on the boys' bathroom wall.
Philip Morris Country Music Show, starring Carl Smith, Little Jimmy Dickens, Goldie Hill, Red Sovine, George Morgan, Mimi Roman, Ronnie Self, Bun Wilson, Shirley Cadell, Dale Potter, the Tunesmiths, and the Country Boys.
Thank you very much, and welcome to our show. Right now, I'd like for you to meet Mr. Frantic of our Philip Morris Country Music Show, Columbia recording artist Ronnie Self.
different tree that don't ask why.
Hi, I'm Bob Dylan. Remember those fabulous 60s? The marches, the beans, the draft card burnings, and best of all, the music. Well, now Apple House has collected the finest of those songs on one album called Golden Protest, performed by the original artists who made them famous. You'll thrill to Society's Child by Janis Ian, Pleasant Valley Sunday by the Monkees, What Have They Done to the Rain by the Searchers, In the Ghetto by Elvis Presley, Silent Night 7 O'Clock News by Simon and Garfunkel, and who can ever forget this all-time classic. Yes, it's Barry Maguire's immortal Eve of Destruction. And, of course, my own Masters of War, all for the incredibly low price of $3.95. And if you order now, you'll also receive a treasury of acid rock featuring Vanilla Fudge, Blue Cheer, Frigid Pink, Moby Grape, The Electric Prunes, Jefferson Airplane, Lothar and the Hand People, to name but a few. Plus, as part of this special limited offer, you'll also get the best of the supergroups with Traffic, Cream, Blind Faith, Ginger Baker's Air Force, and many, many others. Yes, this is a collector's dream, Golden Protest, plus two fabulous 60s albums, all for only $3.95. If you were to purchase these selections separately, they'd cost you hundreds of dollars, and many cannot be found anywhere at any price. Well, it's time for my boot heels to be wandering, but here's something that'll tell you how you can get this amazing record package.
Here's how to order this amazing record package. Just send $3.95 in check or money order, plus your name and address, to Apple House Box 70K, South Bend, Indiana. Once again, that's $3.95 in check or money to Apple House Box. Do it today.
You are listening to the Generation Exploitation Podcast and Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy, here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver and on the internet around the world. My name is Cliff Nesteroff. We just heard the voice of Christopher Guest as Bob Dylan, those wonderful 60s off of the 1972 National Lampoon recording Radio Dinner. Before that, we heard a ripping rockabilly track called Scratching on My Screen, Right There on My Door by Rick Carty, R-I-C, Rick, C-A-R-T-E-Y, Carty on NRC Records. Phenomenal. Rockin' 45. Before that, we heard another rockabilly legend off a fantastic Columbia Records LP from 1960 called The Philip Morris Country Music Show, which has a great cover of a streamlined greyhound on the cover with a painting Philip Morris cigarettes on the side. We heard rockabilly legend Ronnie Self, the late Ronnie Self, who is a real rock and roll hero in Europe. His records are hard to come by, so I'm pleased to own that. Before that, I Found Her Telephone Number, written on the boys' bathroom wall, off one of my favorite LPs, Mad Magazine Twists Rock and Roll, on Big Top Records from 1960, sung by Mike Russo. Before that, we heard George Carlin doing his bit about Ed Sullivan off his Grammy-winning LP, FM and AM. Before that, we heard an instrumental song called Rockabilly Walk by Buddy Knox off his debut LP on Roulette Records. Knox was not unlike Buddy Holly, other than the fact he had the same first name. He covered many of Holly's songs, but he was a good rockabilly performer in his own right. Originally from Texas, he eventually relocated to Vancouver in the early 1960s, and in the 80s, he turned into a bit of a bar musician with a giant cowboy hat and beard, weighing almost 275 pounds doing cover songs. He died in 1999. Buddy Knox off the LP, Buddy Knox. Before that, we heard Stan Freberg satirizing rock and roll off his LP, A Child's Garden of Freberg, doing Heartbreak Hotel. Before that, we heard a clip off an interesting record called Rock and Roll, Evolution or Revolution on Lori Records, about the history of rock and roll, though in reality, really just the history of rock and roll on Lori Records. And we started this great set off with the amazing Servant of Love by the Van Brothers, an Indiana rockabilly group on Poor Boy Records. This 45 recorded in 1960 by Arnold and Lee Van. We are winding it down here on the Generation Exploitation Podcast and Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. And I welcome you to join us again next week, right here, same place, same time. Bye.
There's a fellow by the name of Noah, built an ark. Everybody knows he built an ark. He said, what did Noah do? He said, well, he built an ark. But very few people know about the conversation that went on between the Lord and Noah. You see, Noah was in his rec room sawing away. He was making a few things for the home there. He's a good carpenter. Vrooba, 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 vrooba. Noah. Somebody call? Vrooba, vrooba, vrooba. Noah. Who is that? It's the Lord, Noah. Right. Where are you? What do you want? I've been good. I want you to build an ark. Right. What's an ark? Get some wood, build it 300 cubits by 80 cubits by 40 cubits. Right. What's a cubit? Let's see, a cubit. I used to know what a cubit was. Well, don't worry about that, Noah. When you get that done, go out into the world to collect all of the animals in the world by twos, male and female, and put them into the ark. Right. Who is this really? What's going on? How come you want me to do all these weird things? I'm going to destroy the world. Right. Am I on candid camera? Rain 4,000 days and drown them right out. Right. Listen to this, you'll save water. Let it rain for 40 days and 40 nights and wait for the sewers to back up. Right.
Sonny, thank you for the wonderful time I had. Sonny, thank you for the wonderful time I had. My days were so long, my nights were too. Before I met you, girl, and Sonny, one so true. I love you. For the wonderful time I had, Sonny. I wanna thank you, girl, for the wonderful time I had. My nights were so long before I met you, girl. My days were too. I said, Sonny, one so true. I love you. You for the wonderful time, and Sonny, thank you for the wonderful time I had. I said my days were long,
I said my nights were two. That's before I met you, girl. Sunny, sunny, sunny one so true. But listen, sunny. So long, and my nights were too. That is, until sunny one, I met you. One more sunny, oh girl, and thank you. The wonderful time I had. Said my days were long and painful. Said my nights were too. That is a sunny until I met you.
Make it.